Welcome back to the Deep Dive. We're here to sift through the sources and pull out those key knowledge nuggets for you. Today, we are really getting into it, mastering the smoked turkey breast with a fantastic herb rub. We're drawing heavily from the Pitmaster Arsenal Guide, our goal to find those, you know, surprising little facts and practical tips that can really elevate your next turkey. Doesn't matter if you're a seasoned pro or just starting out. Okay, let's unpack this. Because making a truly memorable smoked turkey breast, it's definitely an art. And, well, we think we've got some secrets right here.
It really is an art. And interestingly, the first step towards that perfect smoked turkey happens way before you even light the smoker. It starts with choosing the bird itself.
Ah, okay. So the selection, that's ground zero, even before thinking about rubs or wood chips. So tell us, how do we pick the absolute best turkey breast?
Exactly. Ground zero. So the biggest thing, honestly, go for fresh, never frozen turkey if you possibly can.
Never frozen? Why is that so crucial?
Well, freezing creates tiny ice crystals, right? And those can damage the muscle fibers just a bit. It means you lose some moisture, some texture. The flavor is just not quite as vibrant.
Okay, makes sense.
You're looking for a nice, vibrant pink color. The surface should look moist, but definitely not slimy.
And where are the best places to find that kind of quality?
Your best bet is usually a good local butcher or farmers markets, sometimes specialty grocery stores. They often have higher turnover and better sourcing. Plus, a fresh surface really helps that herb rub stick properly. You get much better flavor infusion that way.
Gotcha. But even among fresh turkeys, I mean, there are different kinds, right? It's not just turkey. You're saying that makes a difference too.
Oh, absolutely. This is where it gets really interesting for flavor fanatics. Specific breeds can be a real game changer.
Like what kind of breeds?
Heritage breeds. Things like Bourbon Red or maybe Narragansett. They're known for having a much richer, more complex, almost deeper turkey flavor compared to, you know, the standard supermarket bird.
Heritage breeds. Okay.
They do cost more, no doubt about it. But if you're aiming for that top tier result, especially with a savory herb rub, that extra investment, often worth it. You'll typically find them at local farms, maybe specialty butchers, especially around Thanksgiving time in the U.S., for instance.
Right. So we've potentially found our breed. Now, size. How important is the size of the breast? Is it just about how many people you're feeding?
It's definitely about feeding people, but it's more than that. Size impacts cooking time, obviously, but also how evenly the flavor gets distributed, a good rule of thumb. Plan on about 1 to 1.5 pounds of turkey breast per person, assuming it's the main course.
Okay, 1 to 1.5 pounds per person.
Yeah, so say you get 8 people coming over, you'd look for something in the 8 to 12 pound range. And a nice side benefit, that size usually leaves you with some fantastic leftovers for sandwiches or salads the next day.
Always a plus.
Crucially though, from a cooking standpoint, you need to make sure it actually fits comfortably in your smoker. You don't want it crammed in there.
Right, overcrowding is bad for smoking.
Exactly. It hinders airflow, smoke penetration, just doesn't cook as well.
Okay, one last dilemma at the store. Organic versus conventional. Does it make a huge difference for the final taste in this kind of preparation with the smoking and the rub?
That's a common question. Look, organic turkeys are raised without antibiotics, no hormones, fed an organic diet. Some people feel that leads to a cleaner, maybe more natural flavor. And there's the peace of mind aspect, of course.
But they cost more.
They generally do, yeah. Conventional turkeys, they can still taste fantastic, especially with a good rub and proper smoking technique. And they're definitely easier on the wallet. You can often find good deals on conventional birds, especially around the holidays. Ultimately, it boils down to your priorities budget, how you feel about organic practices, and maybe subtle taste preferences. Both can yield a great result.
All right, turkey selected. And now let's dive into that co-star, the herb rub.
Wow.
You called it a culinary masterpiece in the making. Where do we start building that? What are the essentials?
Yeah, the rub is where you paint the flavor onto the canvas, so to speak. The foundation usually involves some classic herbs that just sing with poultry and smoke. Think rosemary, that lovely woodsy aromatic quality. Thyme, which brings a more subtle earthy note. And sage, with its kind of distinct, mildly peppery finish.
All right, rosemary, thyme, sage, standard players.
Mm-hmm.
Is there a magic ratio?
A good starting point for balance might be something like 2 tablespoons of fresh chopped rosemary, and then maybe 1 tablespoon each of fresh thyme and fresh sage.
Fresh is better.
Fresh often gives a brighter flavor, but dried works too. Just remember, dried herbs are more concentrated. The general rule is about 1 teaspoon of dried equals 3 teaspoons of fresh. But honestly, this is where you start playing. experiment a bit.
But we're not just stopping at herbs, right? We want depth, complexity.
Not at all. Herbs are key, but spices are what really kick it up a notch.
Yeah.
Garlic powder is almost essential. Brings that savory umami depth.
Umami.
Black pepper, freshly ground if possible, adds a nice touch of heat and complexity. And if you want a little extra something, maybe a pinch of cayenne for heat, or even smoked paprika for another layer of smokiness and color.
Ooh, smoked paprika. Nice touch.
Totally versatile. You adjust the amounts to what you like. Make it your own signature rub.
So how do you make sure one flavor doesn't just bully all the others? How do you achieve that perfect balance you mentioned?
Balance is everything. You don't want one thing screaming louder than the rest. A good trick is to mix up a small test batch first. Just mix a little, maybe rub it on a tiny piece of chicken and pan fry it. Or even just taste a tiny pinch carefully.
Ah, taste as you go. Smart.
Yeah. You're aiming for that, you know, symphony where all the flavors work together, the earthiness, the warmth, maybe even a hint of sweetness if you add a touch of brown sugar or honey, though that's optional. It might take a little trial and error. Definitely write down what you do when you find a mix you love.
Good tip. Okay, blend perfected. How do we mix it up properly? Does it matter how you combine them?
It helps to mix it thoroughly, for sure. You want even distribution so every bite gets that consistent flavor. If you have a mortar and pestle, that's actually great for grinding the herbs slightly and releasing their essential oils. Really intensifies the aroma and flavor.
Oh, interesting.
But hey, if you don't have one, no worries. A simple bowl and a whisk, or even just a fork, works perfectly well. Just make sure it's all evenly combined. And, you know, take a moment to actually smell it as you mix. Gets you excited for the final product.
Okay, the rub smells incredible. Now, applying it, you mentioned meticulousness. It sounds like just slapping it on isn't the way to go.
Definitely not just slapping it on. Even distribution is really key, not just for flavor, but for appearance too, that nice even crust. So be generous. Get it all over the top, the sides. Make sure you get underneath the breast too. And work it into any little crevices or folds. Don't rush this part. Take your time. It really does pay off in the end.
Okay, now what about getting it under the skin? I've heard about this. Is it really worth the effort? Does it make that big a difference?
Oh, 100%. It makes a huge difference. Think about it. The skin is kind of like a raincoat, right? It can block the rub from directly seasoning the meat underneath.
Ah, okay. Acts as a barrier.
Exactly. So what you do is gently, keyword gently, lift the skin away from the meat. Try not to tear it. Then take some of that rub and massage it directly onto the turkey flesh itself. As it cooks, those flavors meld right into the meat, and the rendering fat from the skin bastes it. Oh, that's fantastic. Keeps it juicy, too. It's like a secret weapon for flavor.
Secret weapon. I like it. Okay, rub applied, maybe even under the skin. Now, I'm usually tempted to go right to the smoker at this point, but you're saying, hold on, marinate.
Patience. Yes, letting it marinate, even just with the dry rub, is a really good idea. It gives those flavors time to actually penetrate into the meat, not just sit on the surface. A minimum, I'd say, is at least an hour in the fridge.
Just an hour helps.
It definitely helps. But if you have the time, several hours, or even letting it sit rubbed overnight in the fridge, that's optimal for really deep, savory flavor. Even if you're pressed for time, like 30 minutes is way better than nothing.
Okay. Patience is a virtue. And while it's marinating, obviously needs to be in the fridge, right? Safety first.
Absolutely critical. Raw poultry. Got to be careful. So once it's rubbed, get it into the fridge promptly. Best way is either in an airtight container or wrap it really tightly in plastic wrap. This does two things. Prevents any cross-contamination in your fridge, and it also helps lock in the moisture, which means a juicier turkey later.
Right. Now, here's something I've wondered. Sometimes after it sits for a while, it looks like the rub has kind of soaked in or disappeared. Should you put more on before smoking?
That's a great question. And yes, it can definitely absorb quite a bit, especially if you marinate overnight. If it looks like a lot of it has soaked in or maybe rubbed off a bit, absolutely feel free to apply another light coating of the rub right before it goes into the smoker. This just ensures you have that nice, even coating for maximum flavor impact and that beautiful crust. You want that robust, aromatic experience.
Okay, makes sense. So, turkey is rubbed, marinated, maybe re-rubbed, ready to go. Now we turn our attention to the smoker itself, setting the stage, you called it.
Exactly, setting the stage for perfection. And the first act is choosing your wood. This has a huge impact on the final flavor. For turkey, especially with those nice herbs, you generally want something mild and fruity. Applewood is fantastic. Cherry wood is another great choice.
Apple or cherry? Why those?
They give a gentle smoke that complements the turkey and the herbs without just, you know, bulldozing over them. You want to be a bit careful with stronger woods, like, say, hickory or pecan, they can sometimes be too overpowering for poultry.
Okay. Avoid the heavy hitters. Got it. And do you just throw the chips in dry?
Ah, no. Good point. You definitely want to soak your wood chips first. Give them a good soak in water for at least 30 minutes. This stops them from just bursting into flame and burning up too quickly. Instead, they smolder and produce that lovely, consistent smoke over a longer period.
Right. Smolder, not flame. Okay. And temperature smoking is all about low and slow, isn't it? What's the magic number?
Low and slow is the name of the game. You're aiming to keep your smoker temperature pretty consistent, somewhere between 225 and 250 degrees Fahrenheit. That's the sweet spot.
225 to 250 F.
Yep. That gentle heat lets the meat get incredibly tender and juicy, and it gives it plenty of time to absorb all that lovely smoky flavor. A reliable thermometer in the smoker is non-negotiable here. You need to know what the temperature actually is. And you'll use your smoker's vents to control that temperature. Too much air, temp goes up, might dry things out. Not enough air, temp drops, takes forever to cook. It's a balancing act.
So what does this all mean for juiciness then? We've got the low temp, but is there anything else we can do inside the smoker to guarantee it doesn't dry out? That's the big fear, right? Dry turkey?
The ultimate fear. Yes, there's another trick, another secret weapon. The water pan.
A water pan. Just a pan of water.
Pretty much. You place a pan filled with hot water inside your smoker. It does a couple of really important things. First, it adds humidity to the air inside the smoker. That moisture helps keep the surface of the turkey from drying out, keeps the whole thing more succulent. Second, that body of water actually helps stabilize the temperature inside the smoker. It absorbs and releases heat, preventing big swings.
Huh. Simple but effective.
Very effective. Just remember to check it during the cook and add more hot water if it starts getting low.
Right.
It really contributes to that tender, juicy result everyone wants.
All right, smoker's prepped, wood smoking, water pans in, turkey's ready. It's time, the grand finale.
Yeah.
Actually smoking the turkey breast. This is it.
This is where the magic happens. And the single most important thing now, monitoring that internal temperature of the turkey.
Right, not just guessing based on time.
Absolutely not. Time is just a guideline. Your meat thermometer is your source of truth. Insert it into the very thickest part of the breast, but make sure you're not hitting bone throws off the reading. You're shooting for an internal temperature of 165 degrees Fahrenheit.
165 F. That's the safe and juicy number.
That's the magic number for poultry. Ensures it's safely cooked through, but still perfectly moist and flavorful. Like we said, maybe 30, 40 minutes per pound is a very rough estimate, but always, always trust your thermometer.
Okay, thermometer is key. Now, you mentioned avoiding overpowering smoke earlier. How do we manage that during the cook? Can it get too smoky?
Oh, it definitely can't. You can end up with something that just tastes bitter or acrid, like you said, an ashtray. Not good. So controlling the smoke level is important. Again, this often comes back to adjusting your smoker's vents. Regulating the airflow controls how much oxygen gets to the wood, which affects how much smoke it produces. A general approach is maybe start with the vents a bit more open to get some good smoke on initially, then maybe close them down partway as the cook progresses.
So less smoke later on.
Often, yeah. Remember, a little smoke goes a long way, especially with poultry. The goal is to enhance the turkey and the rub, not completely mask them under a heavy blanket of smoke. Subtle kiss of smoke, that's the aim.
Subtle kiss of smoke, I like that. Okay, let's unpack this. The turkey hits 165 F, pull it out. Done, right? Ready to carve.
Whoa, hold on there. Not quite. This next step is maybe just as crucial as the cooking itself. Resting the meat.
Ah, the resting period. Why is that so vital?
It's absolutely critical for juicy results. When meat cooks, the muscle fibers tighten up and push the juices towards the center if you slice it immediately.
Juice everywhere but in the meat.
Exactly. All that lovely moisture runs out onto your cutting board.
Mm-hmm.
Disaster. You need to let it rest. Take it off the smoker, maybe tent it loosely with some foil to keep it warm, and just let it sit for about 15, maybe 20 minutes.
15 to 20 minutes. What's happening during that time?
Those tightened muscle fibers relax.
Mm-hmm.
And as they relax, they reabsorb those internal juices, distributing them evenly back throughout the meat. It makes a massive difference to the final texture and moisture. Don't skip the rest.
Lesson learned. Don't skip the rest.
Okay. It's cooked. It's rested. It looks and smells incredible. We're moving beyond the smoker now. Let's talk serving and savoring. What goes well with this masterpiece?
Oh, the possibilities. You want things that complement that smoky, herby flavor. Creamy mashed potatoes are classic, perfect for soaking up any juices. Something green and fresh is nice, like maybe green beans sauteed with a little garlic. And a bit of acidity provides a great contrast. Think homemade cranberry sauce, or maybe even a tangy apple chutney.
Apple chutney sounds good with smoked turkey. It really works. And of course, if you want to go traditional, stuffing or cornbread are always welcome at the table.
Okay, side sorted. Now, carving. You hear slice against the grain. Does it really matter how you slice it?
Oh, it absolutely matters. It's not just for looks. It's crucial for tenderness. Meat muscle fibers run in parallel lines, right? That's the grain. You want to slice across those lines or perpendicular to them.
Why?
Because cutting across the grain shortens those muscle fibers. It makes each slice much more tender and easier to chew. If you slice with the grain, you end up with long, potentially stringy fibers. So identify the direction the grain is running and slice against it. Use a nice sharp carving knife for clean cuts.
Sharp knife against the grain. Got it.
And yeah, aim for relatively thin slices. They look nice arranged on a platter, maybe garnished with a few fresh herb sprigs.
Yeah.
Makes it look really special.
Nice touch. And one of the best parts of cooking something like this, leftovers. Smoked turkey leftovers are the best.
Aren't they just so versatile? Sandwiches are obvious, but amazing. Thin slices on good bread with maybe some avocado, spinach, a little mayo. Fantastic lunch.
Mm-hmm.
Or chop it up, throw it into a salad for some smoky protein. You can also dice it and add it to soups or stews. A smoked turkey and vegetable soup. So comforting and flavorful. It's a great way to make that effort last.
Definitely. Okay, so we feasted. Maybe we have those glorious leftovers. How do we store them properly to keep them tasting great?
Storage is pretty straightforward, but important for safety and quality. You want to get any leftovers into the fridge within about 2 hours of cooking. Don't leave it sitting out. Use airtight containers. That keeps them fresh and stops them from drying out or picking up other fridge odors.
How long will they keep in the fridge?
Stored properly like that, you'll get a good 3, maybe 4 days out of it in the refrigerator.
And freezing, if you have a lot left.
Freezing works great. Portion it out first, maybe slice it or dice it, depending on how you plan to use it later. Wrap it really well.
Okay, so airtight containers are to hope.
Yeah, airtight containers are good. Or you can wrap portions tightly in plastic wrap and then maybe add a layer of aluminum foil or use heavy-duty freezer bags. The key is preventing air exposure, which causes freezer burn.
Right, freezer burn is the enemy. How long in the freezer?
Properly wrapped, it should stay really good for up to, say, 3 months. Maybe a bit longer, but the quality might start to decline gradually after that.
Okay, and reheating. The dreaded reheating. How do we avoid turning that lovely moist turkey into sawdust?
Ah, yes, the reheating challenge. The best way, generally, is gentle heat in the oven. Set it relatively low, maybe 325 degrees Fahrenheit. Put the turkey in an oven-safe dish, maybe add a splash of broth or water just to create some steam, and cover it tightly with foil.
Covered with foil. Key for moisture.
Absolutely. Traps the steam, prevents it from drying out. Heat it until it's warmed. Through ideally check with the thermometer again, aiming for that 165-degree shared internal temp, just to be safe. Especially if reheating larger pieces. You can use a microwave if you're in a hurry, but be careful. Use a lower power setting, heat it in short bursts, stir or rearrange it, maybe add that splash of liquid. It's much easier to overcook and dry it out in the microwave.
Oven is safer for quality, sounds like, and thawing frozen turkey. Straight from freezer to oven, or?
No, definitely best to thaw it first. And the safest, best way is to thaw it slowly in the refrigerator. Depending on the size of the frozen portion, it might take, 24 hours or so. Just plan ahead. That gradual thaw in the fridge maintains the best quality and texture, and it's the safest method from a food safety perspective. Avoid thawing on the counter.
Fridge thawing. Got it. Wow. What a journey, from picking the bird, crafting that amazing rub, nailing the smoking process, resting, slicing, enjoying, and even making the leftovers shine. It really is that blend of science and art, isn't it? Hopefully these tips give you the confidence to try this.
Absolutely. And if we kind of zoom out for a second, mastering something like this, like a smoked turkey breast, it's not just about ticking boxes on a recipe. It's about understand the why, why fresh matters, why resting works, why you control the smoke. When you understand the why, you become a more intuitive cook, more confident to maybe tweak things, to experiment. It's really empowering.
That's a great way to put it, understanding the why. So a little challenge for you listening. What will you deep dive into next in your kitchen? Thanks so much for joining us on this deep dive.